hour number three kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I want to do another push since it is this weekend, the Fan Run Open, supporting local charities here in Knoxville. We're doing the Boys and Girls Club of East Tennessee, Carecuts, Emerald Youth Sports. You want to give them a check? Well, we need you guys to help step up and come play golf with us. Par three course, so you don't have to be like a big time driver or anything. Just come out and just putt. Just hop on a team. Can bring your own team, sign up, or you can play as an individual, and we'll place you with a team. Go to fanrunradio.com/shop for more details on how to sign up. We want to start really pumping out some cool events. Got another one coming down the chute that we'll announce maybe next week after the golf event is complete. But, yeah, we want to start doing some more cool stuff, and we want to do cool stuff with you, the audience. We can do cool stuff by ourselves. We don't want that.
We do cool stuff all the time.
Yeah, we are so cool. Just wait. You guys don't even know the stuff we do. With cool people. You wouldn't know them. They go to different schools. But, like, we want to do it with you. So sign up. Get your team ready. The Fan Run Open. The first ever. Maybe the only ever. If it goes horribly. But I anticipate it being a success. We teased some college basketball. We got Kentucky news. We got some Lady Vol news. Bob, which one do you want to talk about?
Well, let's revel in some more Kentucky chaos first.
Smart. Save the Lady Vol stuff. Let that be the main course. We got our Lady Vol expert Bob here. He's ready to break down yes. The new hires.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll do a little tease here with Kentucky, but just stick around because Lady Vol Bob has got the news for us.
Well, I can give you the breakdown on those quickly. They're new.
They're new.
That's about it. Now. So yesterday we were talking about what I'm calling the Mark Pope Arena Revival was burning up social media, and you know Kentucky fans were acting like they were going to hang a banner for winning a press conference, all this stuff. Worked with the fans, apparently not clicking quite as well with Kentucky players and recruits. A lot of activity yesterday. Zvonimir Isevich, I think I might have gotten that right.
Little ZD.
Avisic.
Yeah. Avisic. Big Z, Little ZD, whatever you want to call him, follows through on his transfer portal plans. He had said maybe he was going to talk to Mark Pope. Maybe Pope was getting a chance to retain him, but nope. He's heading to go to Arkansas, play for Cal. Then DJ Wagner enters the portal. Then Ugo Onyenso, he of the 20% from the field shooting and 50%+ from the line shooting, declares for the NBA draft. And then Boogie Fland, another 5-star recruit, joins Jaden Quaitens, Carter Knox, Samto Cyril. All of those guys are decommitting. So clearly it's going to take a while to rebuild this in Lexington. I mean, Reed Sheppard still hasn't declared what his intentions are, but
Do you think that they are begging him just like, look, if you're going to go, just give us a week or so like of you pretending like that you're not going to go? Like,
yeah.
I don't know when the draft deadline is, but usually that's like the end of April, right, in terms of putting your name.
Right.
Like, I want to say that's like usually the last thing of the month. Like, just wait till then, please. Like, don't say you're leaving now because, like, we are fighting for our lives over here with keeping our players, keeping our recruits, and – as long as you're on board, we can sell this to the fan base that, like, hey, the chosen one, Lexington's own, is sticking around. He believes in the new coach. But, like, whenever you jump off, that's going to be noteworthy. And it doesn't matter that you're not actually transferring. It doesn't matter that it's a no-brainer, that, like, it would be ludicrous to stay and play basketball at Kentucky when you're a projected top five pick. Like, that doesn't matter. It's the perception that, like, everybody leaves. Please stick around just for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what do you think is worse? I was thinking about this, that all these guys made this move the day after that big press announcement, or would it have been better beforehand? Because I actually think it's worse that it happened yesterday afterwards. Because any enthusiasm that Kentucky fans had for what was going on Sunday which again, I got to say, it was kind of cool. They pull in a bus, they all these former players walk out. That's all cool and everything, but then...
Hold on, can you tell me what the bus thing is?
They pulled the bus into Rupp Arena, like onto the floor.
They pulled it in?
Yeah, like a big tour bus.
Okay, it's like drove it in.
Yeah, drove it in.
Okay, so... I was like, wait, they had a strength team out there doing it? So they pulled the bus into the arena, because I keep seeing people talk about this bus. But I didn't actually watch the press conference. I didn't care about
it. Well, I didn't watch it either. I just saw that, though. Okay. I saw that entry. They came in a big, you know, really nice luxury tour bus. Door opens, players come out, former players. You see Tony Delk, you see Jeff Shepard, you see some of the other ones as well, Darius Green. And then you see Pope walk out with the trophy. That was, okay, kind of cool. I get it. But again... With 24 hours after all that, you've got your fans, you know, who showed up in mass, and they had to be excited, had to feel good, because they're trying to feel good about what's about to happen with this new coach. And then all these players just start to drop like flies. I mean, that had to be pretty tough to see yesterday, you know. And if you're Mark Pope, who probably felt like, man, I hit a home run on this press conference, that's got to feel particularly bad for him. Got a lot of work to do. That's all there is to it.
Well, it's funny, like, the Kentucky fans have gone from bashing the hire themselves to now just, like, blindly defending it. And, like, you know, I had a Kentucky fan in my mentions just a little bit ago arguing with me about, I guess I had tweeted about one of their guys decommitting yesterday. I guess they had just found it, but arguing with me about it from then. And they're really trying to put on a brave face and to act like they're unbothered. And to be like, hey, you know, Tennessee can't talk. You guys have never been to a Final Four. That means that we're in good shape because we've been to a Final Four before. Like, that's kind of the stance they're taking, but they don't take kindly to when you point out, well, okay, that's fine, but, like, you know, yes, you've been to a lot of Final Fours in the past, but, like, right now you can't really argue that you're not the fourth best SEC program with maybe the ninth or tenth best coach in the conference, and you know, they don't really have a comeback for that.
Now, they do have just as we're talking, they have a bit of good news.
Maybe.
Brandon Ramsey, who's been on the show before when we were previewing Kentucky games, wrote...
Our boy.
Yeah, he wrote, boom. Coach Pope is officially on the board, landing former four-star recruit Colin Chandler, who was committed to playing at BYU. He wrote, potential size, obviously old for a freshman.
Yes, I mean, he's done his... Is it his mission, or what's it called?
Yeah.
So he's done his mission. He was the number 33 overall recruit in the 2022 class.
Yep.
I don't know what his mission was. I don't know how much he's able to keep playing basketball while doing that. I don't know. But, like, I don't know if that's worth necessarily a big boom.
Wow. It's somebody that wants to play there.
That's fair. It's a warm body. So, yeah. It's kind of funny that, like, is it just going to be, hey, I'm going to bring my BYU guys to play this year?
Yeah, that's right. It's him and Dallin Hall right now is all I've seen.
That BYU team, am I going to try to bring some of those transfers over too? Some guys, because, like, you know, it's nice to get the number 33 overall recruit in the 2022 class. I mean, it's 2024/25 by the time you play basketball again. I don't know how much that matters anymore. And, like, it seems like they're really worried if they're celebrating this one, though, I guess is what I'm getting at. Because, like, they're used to getting the McDonald's All-American five stars, and now they're celebrating getting the number 33 ranked recruit in the 2022 class. It's not like you're celebrating getting somebody out of the transfer portal. This isn't Darlin Stone Dubar. This isn't Dalton Connect, who has proven they can play college basketball. This guy, last time we saw him, was playing high school basketball years ago. And that's what they're celebrating. Okay. Okie dokie. All right.
I mean, it's at the moment, things can change. But right now, you know, you could argue Pat Kelsey and Louisville, they're in better shape roster-wise than Kentucky at this moment, particularly if Reed Shepard goes. If Reed Shepard goes, then That's a lot for Kentucky to work with.
As Dillingham came out and made it official, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer that he's leaving, and he doesn't have the legacy ties to the university, but, like, he has he made it official that he's out of there?
I don't know if he's made it official, but I've
– I haven't seen anybody, like,
I've
begging him
Instagram
to come back.
I've seen Instagram posts of him, like, you know, with – yeah. Sports cars out in L.A. I mean, think he's focused on draft prep.
Well, he went number two in the last mock draft I saw. And I think seems high, but
and I think Justin Edwards did say he's declared.
Yeah, Justin Edwards said he's focused on the NBA.
Yeah,
same as the big man came out and said, like, "Hey, I'm entering the." He's like, "I'm leaving. I'm not entering the transfer portal. I'm not playing college basketball. I'm focused on the NBA." Was it Dosunmu or?
Onyensu.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, Ugo. He's yeah, and that's from everything.
Reach.
Yeah, it's a debatable move, but yeah, he's focusing on the NBA, and then Aaron Bradshaw, who left last week, he's going to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I mean. It's crazy to think that as bad as Louisville's been, they might be in the better situation here in a short amount of time.
Another prediction I want you on record for. That's too early. I'll allow you to change. But as we sit here on April 16th, Kentucky will be picked to finish where in SEC play next year? Bob, preseason-wise.
Seventh. They've still got too much rub off, even if they're not as good as they.
No, I mean, I think being picked to finish seventh's a bad enough drop.
Yeah,
I don't think that's, you know, them necessarily even getting the benefit of the doubt of their rub off. I think seventh is I think they'd be pretty upset with that. Sam, where do you?
Yeah, I was gonna say more like five, probably. I think five.
You think they'll be picked to finish fifth? I was thinking six. No, I didn't really have a take. But, like, the roster overhaul is going to be big. And, like, and are we even seeing them really linked to, like, portal guys either? Like, I mean, I haven't really seen any of the big names. Like, you would think somebody like Cade Tyson would be, like, you know, Lexington's not that far from Charlotte. Like, you would think he would be on their radar. A, he's white, which means he fits into Mark Pope's system, apparently, and that he had at BYU. Like, he's used to coaching white players, so that's good. But, like, also, like, he's the number one small forward. They need players all around. They have NIL money. Like, why are they not kicking the tires on him? Why are they not trying hard to sway Igor or Darlinstone? Like, why are they not in the mix for anybody that I've seen so far? Like, any of these big names that are in the portal.
I feel like it's hard to sell kids that are like one-year rentals on a program that is going to like need a year or two, you know? I feel like it's hard to be like, hey, come and play for me for 1 year because you have no idea what I've, you know, what my track record is here type of thing.
Like even Jonas Adu, like I feel like he should be somebody they're in the mix with. But the five names I saw were Arkansas, Baylor, Ole Miss, UNC, and USC. I don't know if that's South Carolina or Southern Cal. I assume it's South Carolina.
No, I would think Southern Cal.
Okay.
I would think so, too.
Okay, yeah, maybe. Maybe Musselman out there that has the tie there and seen him. Okay, so, yeah, maybe.
I also don't give you South Carolina the benefit of the doubt to USC.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. SC is more of the South Carolina. I guess I just – it coming right after UNC, I was thinking maybe sure. That's closer to home. But, yeah, you're right. It probably is USC in terms of Southern Cal. But, yeah, like Arkansas, Baylor, Ole Miss, UNC, and USC. Like, why's Kentucky not on that mix? Why are they not willing to overpay him? Because they need good players. And you can argue about how good Adu is or how soft he is or whatever, but he's still an SEC starting caliber center. He's still better than anybody Kentucky has on their roster right now. And I don't even see them linked to guys like him.
Maybe they could get that Ohio State transfer guy that we were talking about we're not too high on.
Don't talk about it, Gale. Don't talk about him too badly yet. He might end up on the team, Bob. If he's on our team, he's a good player, okay?
That's true.
Yeah. So let's wait until we pass on him before we say, yeah, maybe you're more fit for Kentucky, buddy. Because he might end up on our team. Hell, he might be our backup point guard. Who knows? Any other thoughts on the college basketball landscape with Kentucky?
No. This is not Kentucky, but it's an incoming SEC team. Man, Texas is busy. Three incoming transfers out of the portal.
They got the number one portal class right now, right?
Yeah, they lost two as well, Dylan Mitchell and Tyrese Hunter.
I wonder if those guys are getting recruited over, though.
Yeah, I don't think they're mad about those two leaving.
I would be completely fine. Like, after seeing what we saw from them in the tournament, just watching them this season, like, Tyrese Hunter, a flop.
Yeah.
Dylan Mitchell, I mean, he was solid, I guess, but, like, he – I don't think you're, like, gnashing your teeth over him leaving.
Now, wasn't – I read somewhere, I thought I read, that Mitchell was maybe a target a couple years back for Tennessee. He was a recruiting target.
Yeah, both those guys were. Both Mitchell
Hunter
and –
Hunter was bigger than us, than Mitchell, I think.
Really? Say that again? Well, Hunter was the transfer portal guy, but, no, I mean, I'm pretty sure we finished second for –
Mitchell out of high school?
Mitchell, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Barnes kind of – people thought Barnes kind of took a shot at him – after the loss, or after we beat them in the tournament, after their loss, because he, you know, was talking about Mitchell, but like had to like check the stats, like, you know, let me get his name, and like kind of put on a show of like not knowing who he was, and like maybe that was like Rick Barnes being 69 years old, not really thinking about it. Maybe he wasn't even the one like necessarily recruiting him. Your assistant coaches were, but people had taken that as maybe him throwing a kind of a little bit of shade to him for the way he handled his recruitment and how he ended up at Texas. I don't know. But I know Tennessee, I think, finished second for him. Same for Hunter, you know, when he transferred out of Iowa State. Like, Tennessee thought they were going to get him for a while. And, of course, he ends up at Texas, and I don't think Tennessee missed out on him. So, like, kind of finished second for both of those guys. But I think both of those guys missed their chances. I don't anticipate Barnes letting them come back and cry and beg, please, please let us into the real UT.
I wonder if the – all this movement with Texas, maybe this is a pretty pivotal year for Rodney Terry, obviously coming into the SEC. I mean, that's a lot of roster flipping, really. I mean, it's similar to what Tennessee's going through, but ours feels, I don't know. I mean, ours feels like we might have it under control. And Texas, it looks good. The guys they got coming in are players. So
if it was a football program in a similar situation as Terry, I would say yes, just because you don't want to go through the SEC football schedule and be in that conference without being up to your best. I don't know if the basketball program is seen as daunting as that. So, like, if he's able to go, you know, 500 in conference play and make the tournament, win a tournament game, like, is that going to make them upset? Is that going to get him fired? I don't know. I don't know what they are, because they got sick of Rick Barnes doing that. But then Shaka couldn't even give them that. So, yeah. Like, you know, then they had Chris Beard and, like, you know, Terry, of course, got the interim coach rub and went on a run last year and made the Elite Eight. How much goodwill has that bought him? I don't know. At least they won a tournament game this year and lost to a good Tennessee team. I don't know what his seat is, but when you start doing that transfer portal, you better hit on it.
Yeah.
You better hit on it. The first time you miss on it, people are going to question your program building ability. Kind of like, you know, what happened with Musselman at Arkansas, and it kind of severed that relationship and just kind of made him look elsewhere. Of course, that plus the alleged love triangle didn't help. But, you know, Musselman looked really disgruntled this season coaching that team. Add Oklahoma and Texas in there. Yeah, I mean, like, Texas or Kentucky basketball, who's in a better shape right now?
Texas.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a question. That's what I was thinking about when I picked them at 7. You've got those two teams coming in. I think Oklahoma's in better shape than Kentucky right now.
So next year you think they'll be better than Kentucky too, or are you just talking about like right now before they have a roster?
Yeah, right now before they have a roster. And
I still expect Kentucky to be better than Oklahoma next year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. And I expect them to be probably just as good as Texas, at least as good as Texas was this year. I don't know what Texas is going to look like next year, I guess. But like I kind of view them on Texas, like on even playing field with them. Pope versus Terry, who you got in terms of coaching? Because that feels pretty similar to me, too.
Yeah, that's a toss-up to me.
Sam, you got a take on that either way?
I'm not a big Rodney Terry guy, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'd probably take Pope.
Kind of feel like they're pretty similar. Okay, we'll move gear. We'll move off of this and switch gears. Stay with us.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well,
did it do anything for you, Bob, when you saw the Team USA roster get revealed yesterday?
Well, yes. Of course, I'm a Pacer fan, so it was good to see Tyrese Halliburton on there. But that team's loaded. I mean, I always feel good when they get that kind of, you know, roster. I was a huge fan way back when the Dream Team got put together. It's like, I really feel when the U.S. wants to assert themselves, I mean, international basketball has definitely evolved more recently in the last decade or two, but still, I think if the U.S. gets their who's who of players together, it's tough to beat.
That's what it was for me, just seeing just the depth of the names and just every big name in the league kind of being in the mix there. It did kind of get the juices going a little bit there, seeing, I guess, the last hoorah for a lot of those guys, but trying to kind of restore, I don't want to say a dream team or a dream team moment, but kind of similar. Kind of felt that way when you got LeBron James, Steph Curry. Was Kevin Durant on the team too? Kevin Durant's on the list, right?
Oh, yeah, Durant.
Because it felt a little weird. I'm reading this Yahoo piece about it. Like, they feature LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Embiid, which I would like to know why they went with Embiid instead of Kevin Durant, because when I think of the three names of our generation, it should be LeBron, Steph, and KD, not Embiid, which I know Embiid's a little newsworthy because he had a chance to play for a couple different countries and chose America, which I don't necessarily like.
How does that work?
You can be nationalized and play for a different country. Like you,
do you have to have like citizenship and all?
Yeah.
That?
So sometimes, like you, if you have like any type of, almost any type of family tie to like a country, you can get there. But even then, I think sometimes, like I want to say you get like one athlete that you can pretty much just give citizenship to. I'm pretty sure. Like I'm pretty sure that is the rule.
Like China could give citizenship to LeBron James.
I kind of think so. I think you're allowed one.
That's awesome.
I'll Google the rules awesome. Exactly, but like I'm, like, yeah, like I mean, I don't know. The first time I really saw it was like, I remember Chris Kamen running around for the Team Germany team. I was like, oh, his grandmother's German. Like, okay. And then like Serge Ibaka was playing with Spain. Like, how's this working? Like, well, you know, he's nationalized there, and I don't know the exact rules.
Yeah,
rules for playing for different country in Olympics. I'll get to the bottom of this. Let's see here. What the hell was that?
Because it feels like the
FIFA. Why are they giving me AI? When did Google start giving you AI stuff?
Really? That's scary.
AI overviews or experimental. I don't want that.
Yeah, opt out of that.
The Olympic Charter states that athletes can represent another country in the Olympics if they meet certain criteria, including becoming a citizen of the new country and following the committee's regulations. Rule 4041 states that the competitors must be citizens of the country of the NOC that enters the competitor. Athletes can only change countries if they have represented a specific country in the Olympics. So, yeah, basically, they have to become a citizen.
Makes sense.
Embiid, of course, already a citizen. Mm-hmm. But, like, he had I think, flirted with, like, France himself. I think France maybe was this team that was talking to him. And then, of course, like, I think it's Cameroon. Also. Yeah, like, he had an option there. I think he had three. He was getting recruited. Kind of wish Embiid was on the team because it's almost a little overkill.
Feels like cheating a little bit.
A little bit overkill.
It's like you're going to beat them anyways without Embiid if you had this team.
Well, like the one question has always been like the Team USA is like kind of lacked a center that can play like international basketball. Like since like Howard, I mean like, or Tyson Chandler. But just like the centers usually like has been a weak point lately. But now you're, like, you're adding like an MVP there.
So let me ask you, as I read through this list, I'm going to ask you to listen and think about, is there one player out of those 11 that you feel might be a questionable selection? Okay.
So well, you already got it with Tyrese Halliburton, but go ahead. 20 points. Since when are we doing backflips over 20 points and 11 assists? Who cares?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, of course.
Drew Holiday instead.
LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid. We talked about all those. Anthony Davis, Tyrese Halliburton, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Jason Tatum.
I mean, honestly, to me, Drew Holiday is probably getting respect because he went last go-round after the Bucks had just lost in the finals. So, like, they're kind of throwing him a bone there. And because he still gets credit for being the best perimeter defender when it comes to guards. You know, you could throw him out there kind of as a stopper. And I'm not just kidding, but to me, Halliburton is the name that kind of stands out. If I had to pick one of, like, who was, like, the bottom of the list, it probably would be him.
See, for me, it's kind of a toss-up between, and I'd probably lean towards Halliburton because, again, I'm a Pacer fan, and I do like his game. And I get that Drew is a great defender, That's the one I feel is like a little questionable. I'm thinking like a Jalen Brunson or someone like that that could be. And there's still an open slot. So, I mean, there's still one more spot to fill. But
well, to me, I would be fine if it was Brunson over Halliburton because Halliburton doesn't play defense. And I think you got enough guys on the team that's going to create shots and points. So, like, if you're looking – if you're actually trying to build a roster and not making it just like, hey, here's who we think the 12 best players in America are, then, yeah, I think, like, it's, you should have at least a defensive specialist out there that can play with four offensive guys. And Holiday kind of gets that nod for me. And they had talked about Kawhi Leonard, maybe if he was able to be healthy, being that last roster spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's the case, like, the guys we're arguing about with Holiday and Halliburton, like, they're probably not going to get much run anyways as it is.
True.
In the games that matter.
There's some interesting names in the Team USA previously set a 41-player pool of potential roster candidates. So there's still 30 names out there, and some of them are really naturals, you know, Paul George, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, Jalen Brunson, Cam Johnson.
I think they're just throwing him a bone because he's done some of the – like, I think if you do, like, some of the qualifying stuff and do some, you know, say in the system, they at least throw you bones and give you credit for that. They don't want guys to always just parachute in and only want to play the Olympics but then ignore all the other competitions that they have to have to play. It'd be really funny if they brought Cam Johnson. Like, hey, you know, here's our Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
Let's add in a college player, which is kind of crazy when you think of it, like – the dream team was supposed to be the best basketball team of all time. I was like, yeah, we're still going to take this college player. Like, we don't necessarily have another guy in the NBA we can really take. I don't really hear of too many snubs from the dream team. The only one that ever really gets stands out is Isaiah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the NBA only had, like, you know, 13 or 14 stars at that point, but, like, when you're looking at the depth of the league, like, Paul George would have been, you know, sixth or seventh on the dream team probably. Jimmy Butler probably the same way. Kawhi Leonard would have been maybe the third or fourth best player on the dream team at worst. And, like, those guys are maybe not even going to make this roster. The depth is crazy.
What are the odds a James Harden or a Kyrie Irving make this team?
Zero.
Zero.
Well, I'll say zero for James Harden. Kyrie, I'll give a 6% chance just because players always reportedly, like, really love him.
Yeah.
And, like, LeBron probably has a lot of pull. And, like, I could see him saying, like, hey, I want Kyrie. And he gets along with Durant and all them. Like, so, like, I could see him maybe being on the team for vibes. But, like, to me, the most interesting thing about the Olympic setup there is who makes the roster, who doesn't make the roster. That's always interesting. But really, who are going to be the starters and who are going to be the closers?
Yeah.
Like, those position battles there, like, are we going to just do the old guard going to be the starters? Are we going to give the career achievement awards to Durant and LeBron and Steph? Or, like, does it look and say, like, hey, if I'm Jason Tatum, I'm like, I'm better than Kevin Durant at this point in our careers. I deserve to start. Maybe Jason Tatum's like, hey, it's fine. Let the old heads do it. Who's going to be the starting two guard? Devin Booker or Anthony Edwards? Because if I'm Anthony Edwards, I'm the alpha of the West when it comes to that. I'm not taking the back seat to Devin Booker.
That I am fascinated to watch is how Edwards meshes with this. Because he is, man. We're all fans in this room. He's a stud. He should be getting the run.
Who starts at center, Embiid or Anthony Davis? Like, I mean, I feel like Embiid's probably the answer there, but if I'm Anthony Davis, like, I'm just as good as Embiid, and I also got the LeBron tiebreaker. LeBron's my boy. I've been playing with the Lakers. And if I'm Anthony Davis, I feel like I'm probably just as good as Joel Embiid. Now, whether or not he actually is a different story, but those position battles to me are interesting. At point guard, I guess Curry's going to be the starting point guard.
I would think so.
It gets me juiced, not so much thinking about the Olympics, although I do love Olympic basketball. I do really enjoy watching that. And what's the time difference we're going to be working with this go-round?
It's in Paris. Yeah, well, so
it's like 6 hours.
It's six hours.
So will the games be on in America? So they'll probably be on like during the day, right? They'll probably be playing the marquee basketball games and events will probably be at like at 8 o'clock over there, so like 2 or 3 o'clock here?
Yeah, early to mid-afternoon here.
Okay. Because where were the COVID Olympics in 21 at? Where were they at? Because I feel like we missed out on – I feel like all that stuff happened real late at night.
Japan, I want to say.
Okay.
Was it? Or was it
– Japan there, feels right.
I want to say when was Rio?
Rio was 16, right?
Was it? Was that long ago? God, I
want to say Rio was
2020 16. 2020 was in Tokyo.
16 was London, I thought.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Then did they do another one in 21, or am I tripping? Did the Olympics not get pushed a year? Well, I guess the 2020
in Tokyo and 2022 in Beijing.
Okay, maybe 2020 actually happened in 2021 though, because that was like the big thing with the pandemic. Yeah, it was like we're gonna have to move it a year.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay. 16 was London, so was
I think so.
Was
yeah.
Rio 12?
Or was Rio 18?
Rio's when Ryan Lochte got in trouble, right? Wasn't that like whenever like the swimmers? I mean, it wouldn't be 18 because 18 would be a Winter Olympic, right?
16 for Rio.
Yeah,
I'm terrible at the Olympic years. Yeah.
I usually am too, but please note, I got Rio 16. I remembered that one.
So then London must have been 12. Good Lord.
I think London was 12 and 08 was 08. Where was that one? Was that one Beijing?
That sounds right.
The Michael Phelps Olympics was in Beijing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Beijing.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least I got those. I'm just pretty sure the World Cup was also like in Rio. Wasn't it also in Brazil in 16?
That sounds right.
I want to say they had the Olympics and the World Cup at the same time, as like they were having as they were having like dead bodies like wash up on shore and everything, and like the crime was out there. And I remember Ryan Lochte like doing his whole drunken thing, where he gets arrested. And, like, you're gonna spend your prison time in Brazil right now? That seems kind of crazy, man. Maybe get it together.
Well, this is saying,
what are we doing? We going back on that? Will the World Cup have been 14? Maybe. Maybe the World Cup would have been 14.
Yeah.
14, then 16 for Rio, but either way. What are you doing? You're looking like you're about to say something bad over there.
This is just a bad Wikipedia here. It's saying 16 is in Japan, but this is the Club World Cup, so this isn't right. I'm just looking at
I'm pretty sure the World Cup runs in like the off years of the Olympics, the Summer Olympics. I'm pretty sure it's 06, 10, 14, 18, 22.
Yeah. Athens 2004, Beijing 2008.
Okay.
London 12, Rio 16, Tokyo 20.
And Paris 24.
This is saying the 18 World Cup was in Russia.
Yeah, okay. The 14 was the one I was talking about.
Oh, you're talking about
with
14.
It being in Brazil.
Okay.
Well, just back to back.
I'm all over the place here.
Yeah, you're really ruining my segment here of me flexing my Olympic and World Cup knowledge. America, of course, going to be huge favorites to win the gold medal.
Yeah.
I don't like it when it's necessarily overwhelming. It'll be cool to see the players on the team together. It'll be cool to see the pecking order. But, like, this maybe does whet my or pique my appetite for I want Team USA versus the world. I want the best players in the world to team up against Team USA. They had talked about doing that at the All-Star game. If like that was basically like Silver's threat, like, hey, either you guys start taking this All-Star game seriously, or we're going to make it an international showcase, Team USA versus the world, and then you're going to have to take it seriously because you don't want to let America down. Like, that's what I want for a gold medal. Just let the other countries combine. I know that's not exactly fair, but we invented the sport. We're the best at it. I want world versus America.
You think we would win that?
No.
I don't think so either, yeah.
I don't know if they'd have the depth, but like their top 7 or 8 would probably beat us. Like when you look at like Jokic and Giannis and Luka.
They're on their prime.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and like even Wimby coming off the bench, Lauri Markkanen, Jamal Murray. Like I think they'd give our boys the blues.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they'd give our boys the blues.
Yeah, I was just reading where, you know, you mentioned Jokic. He didn't play for Serbia in the last round, and it's like if he plays, and they were good. So, I mean, I actually think the Olympics, the U.S., you would think would roll, and I think they will, but I don't think it will be easy. I think there's going to be definitely some tough matchups.
No, and you'll deal with, you know, those teams having played together, right? And, like, they know how to play team basketball, and we see that every March Madness. Talent doesn't get you so far whenever you are going up against a team that's played a lot of years together. That's kind of what Spain always had going for it, you know, mixed in with some good NBA talent. But it was also like, hey, this team's grown up together. Right now, the gambling odds, USA is minus 240, Serbia plus 400, Canada plus 600, France plus 800. Those are kind of the teams you kind of look at. Slovenia with Luka at plus 2,000. Canada's got a good squad with SGA and Lou Dort and a couple guys.
Zach Edey.
Murray.
Yeah, I mean,
Edey would play, yeah.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks. Edey, I mean, I would say he will probably. Yeah. I would guess so. Like Kyle Alexander was on the team whenever the little World Cup thing, yep. you know, happened. Mm-hmm. He didn't really get to play, but he was on the team. I'd imagine Edie at least takes his spot. Dylan Brooks was out there. I mean, they got some NBA players out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, USA is going to be a big favorite. But, yeah, it just got me wanting the USA versus the world showcase. So I hope maybe we get there during an All-Star game. Because I think the foreigners would have too much pride to go out there. Like, they would want to beat America, so then America would have to kind of answer the bell. You'd think it's an exhibition, but they're punching you in the mouth. You're like, whoa, this is supposed to be a charity boxing event. Next thing you know, they're knocking you out, so you have to respond. I think that's like the plot to like Rocky III, ain't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Still a little Rocky III action. Hey, I thought we were just doing an exhibition here. Next thing you know, you're getting beat up. You got to respond. God. We'll talk some local news coming up after the break. Stick with us.
A brand built in Tennessee and...
A little breaking news. It's funny after talking about it yesterday. Tyler Barron, not to be confused with Byron Young, which I didn't confuse him with Byron Young, just for the record. It was a slip of the tongue. Slip of the tongue. I know the difference, okay? I know the difference. Tyler Barron on the move again, apparently. So it was Tennessee to Ole Miss to Louisville, and now it's out of Louisville and headed somewhere else as he entered the transfer portal.
How many times can you do it?
Unlimited. Unlimited. You can do it as many times as you want.
It's like a salad bar.
No, I disagree. I think the salad bar, they'd eventually be like, you know what? You've had enough, sir. I've seen enough horror stories of people at buffets, Bob, where they're like, hey, we have a policy that once you eat like 8 pounds, you're out of here. The transfer portal is protected by Congress, bro. You can literally do it unlimited times.
It's like Curb, right? That episode with Leon.
You can't get seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, and sixths. We'll give you up to third or fourth on the buffet, but after that, we're going to cut you off, sir. No, the portal. I mean, Tyler Barron, he might have a couple more in him. I got a couple more in me. Avidi, I assume no schools have been linked to him. Because it just hit the portal. I imagine that he hasn't already like announced like where he's going or like where he's interested in going. I wonder, like, do we think maybe like just back to Ole Miss now that spring ball's over? Maybe Ole Miss has a couple extra spots, or is it just like that bridge burnt?
I was gonna say, what would you take him back if he came to Tennessee saying I want to come back? Would you take him back?
Hell no.
Elijah Herring hits the transfer portal. Now we got a spot open. Hey Tyler, you made a little extra money from. I'd be so mad if I was a Louisville collective that's already probably given him some money.
Yeah,
because they said that's what the Proctor kid that went to Alabama, like left Alabama to go to Iowa. They said he made money from Iowa all semester, and then it's like, actually, I'm going back to Alabama. So I'd imagine you get some of that up front as a signing bonus, then you do a little bit of work, and bada boom, bada bing, you've double dipped.
It's a hell of a business. Nice revenue stream. Just be a perpetual portal transfer.
I'm entering the portal every December, and I'm doing it again after spring practice. I'm transferring 8 times. At least. Would I take him back? No. Like, he's not in a position of power. He's not in a position of power. Like, if Jonas Adu is like, hey, I want to come back, maybe. Awaka, maybe. Now, neither one of those guys have actually went to a different school, or much less two different schools. They haven't actually gone through with leaving. They've packed their bags, but they haven't moved out of the house. Depends how much you miss them, I guess. Like, that's what it comes down to. If you let your ex-lover come home, it depends how much you miss them and if you've moved on. And as far as Tennessee's defensive line, I think I speak for a lot of the fan base by saying we've moved on. We don't really need him. We're good. We might already still have the best defensive line in the country, not named Georgia. Hell, we might be better than Georgia. I just feel hard to saying that because they have an NFL team. Like, I imagine they still have some dogs on the NFL, on the defensive line that are all going to be in the NFL. But, like, we might be in that next group, the post-Georgia group. We might be number one there. And at least as far as next year's draft goes, so far, we got the number one guy on defense there. So we don't need Tyler Barron. Nah, we're good. I'd be interested to see where he ends up, though. If he's a hot commodity this go-around, or if teams are like, ah, there's something going on with this guy and his handlers and his parents. We're good. It's not worth the headache.
Arkansas State ends up.
That would actually bum me out if he had to go. If he dropped the bag that bad of just like, I left Tennessee thinking people would want me. Ole Miss got me. And then, I don't know what happened there. If Ole Miss was like, hey, we don't actually have. Because they took like 10 transfers all at one time, right? They're throwing money around. I don't know if maybe like, hey, you know, we had you this amount of money, but Walter Nolan said he wanted it. So actually, sorry. And then Louisville's like, hey, we'll take you. Here's a bunch of money to come to Louisville. And maybe Louisville doesn't actually have the money because like, hey, we actually had to fire Kenny Payne, and we gotta spend this money to pay basketball guys. And sorry to say, we're not gonna have that money we told you we had. So now if he just ends up, yeah, just having to take a step down because he's already leaving a playoff contender in Tennessee. No matter what you think about them, I'd imagine even the biggest haters have to acknowledge they're playoff contenders. Same as Ole Miss. They're probably playoff favorites to make the playoff. You step down to Louisville. So you're already kind of, you know, you're dangerously sliding off that slope. Going from Ole Miss to Louisville was a pretty big drop-off in terms of team success. So I'll be interested to see where he ends up. All right, Bob, I've been waiting all show for you to break down these Lady Vol coaching hires. Tell me who my girl Kim Stevens brought in. Kim Stevens Caldwell brought in.
Well, she started, what, I think Jenna Burdett joined first from her staff at Marshall. But yesterday she made, I would say, some pretty noteworthy hires. They were two associate head coaches in the SEC, one at Alabama, Roman Tubner, and one at Mississippi State, Gabe Lazo. And I think the through line here, this is my takeaway, other than she's getting her staff together and it's new names and they have Power Five experience. Both of them seem to play pretty key recruiting roles in their previous jobs at Alabama and Mississippi State. And that's been the one thing we've heard and touched on with Caldwell, was given her experience at the D2 level and then only 1 year at Marshall, recruiting in the SEC could be a pretty imminent challenge for her. So to come in and bring in people that have that kind of experience under their belts already seems like a pretty good move on paper. So seems like established coaches. We'll just have to see how that works out. But she's definitely underway because this was right after she cut loose one of the former Lady Vol assistants.
So how many assistants do we still need? Because three is what that's full, right, in terms of the main assistants?
I would think so. Maybe one more. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
Because I feel like the men's team only has three assistants, right?
If you're LSU women's basketball, God, you need to sign like seven more coaches.
Yeah, that looks like
they had a deep bench, right?
It's like a congregation.
LSU? Coaches.
That's what I mean. Like they had a deep bench of coaches. Yeah. I was watching them in the tournament like, who are all these people? That's funny you say that, because I was like, who? I assumed you had like a limited number of coaches you could actually have. Surely all these people aren't grad assistants, grad transfers.
No, I bet they are. I bet a decent amount of them are
GTA. I do wonder if it's some like, you know, that are grad assistants / entourage basically for Kim Mulkey and the team.
And I guess they were all dressed too. Like they were dressed to kind of fit up with Mulkey. So like they stand out a little bit more. They're not just wearing like, because I feel like, you know, if you're just wearing like a coach's polo or like a hoodie or, you know, something that just like a dress shirt, you're like, oh, okay, this is like a trainer, so-and-so. But they were standing out, and I was counting them up. I was like, why are there eight sharp-dressed people here on this bench? What is going on?
It was the dude that was like six down on the bench in like a seersucker suit.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
And then there was one. I think it was in that UCLA game, so that elite. Was that the Elite Eight game when they played UCLA?
No, that was Sweet 16 game.
Sweet 16, that was it. And they had some assistant or whatever it was, and he had like a big leather bomber jacket on.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I was like, why is he wearing this? Why is he so sharp-dressed? Who is this man? Yeah.
You couldn't even see like the girls on their bench in like the light of the arena. Like they were just in the dark, like at the end of the bench.
You know what's interesting about this Gabe Lazo guy?
I don't. I have no clue what is interesting about Gabe Lazo.
I'm about to tell you. He was promoted to associate head coach at Mississippi State on Friday. So just got promoted and then still was like, hey, I'm out.
Is Vic Schaefer still at Mississippi State?
No, Sam Purcell is okay. The coach now.
That probably happened a long time ago.
No, I think just in the last year or two.
Okay, I was going to say, because I always, you know, heard that name and yeah. Legend in coaching or whatever. So I guess Tennessee probably could give him a pay raise. Did they give him a title? Did he get associate head coach title here?
That's a good question. It doesn't really say.
Because if you're hiring two people that were associate head coaches, surely you can't just give one of them the title and not the other. Maybe Tennessee – maybe that was a part of, like, Tennessee – because, I mean, her salary isn't huge.
Yep.
She's only making, what, $750,000, I think, this year?
Right.
So maybe that was a part of it. It's like, hey, we're going to give you money to make sure you fill out your staff with the best coaches possible, so maybe they're just able to outbid.
Yeah.
Those coaches maybe are making just as much money as she is, really, or close to it.
Says here, it appears Caldwell is not retaining any assistance from Harper's staff. So, obviously, we knew Samantha Williams was not retained.
Has that made people mad?
Oh, yeah. We've seen a little of that. I don't know how mad, but there's definitely been a few people who have been presented dissenting opinions on social media.
It's so funny. Because I don't follow the Lady Vols. I'm open about that. That's why I'm not too critical of the program, because I don't know much about it. Now I'm going to keep up a little bit more because I'm interested in this new coach. But like every now and then, my Twitter timeline will get a couple of Lady Vols takes on it. And I'm like, how did we get here? How am I following these people that love the Lady Vols so much? But I did see like a handful of people really mad about like she hasn't recruited at all. She hasn't hit the portal, and now she's firing coaches. She hasn't hired any coaches. I'm losing my faith in you, Kim. I was like, how are we already here? Like, she's been on the job for, like, you know, a week. Give her a chance. She's had to do all types of stuff. She has to raise money and recruit her own programs. She has to go out and throw first pitches and hit all these media things up. Give her a little bit of a chance. But they were already like, I'm about had it up to you, Kim. Up to here with you, Kim. I had high hopes for you, but not now.
Yeah. She may be staffed up. Like you said, she's got three now. That may be, unless she goes the Mulkey route.
I mean, Tennessee, the men only have three, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
Clark Gainey and G-Reg, like those are the only three like main assistant coaches. I know there's some grad assistants, and,
right?
You know, Lucas Campbell's on the staff. I see him there, and like I know they got a couple of those, but like just only three main assistants. I think she'd be done. All right, good Tuesday show by you boys. Remember, we're gonna have to carry a little bit of slack tomorrow. Gonna be a long night for me tonight.
Enjoy that concert, bro.
I plan on it. The G.I. Jake show coming up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.